thrilled to be joined by first baseman DH Adam Lind, who just killed it this year, hitting .321 with an .860 OPS, one of the leading hitters in the major leagues against right-handed pitching. Adam hit .354 with a .409 on base percentage against righties this year. 96 games played, only 6 home runs, sacrificing power for batting average. And Adam joins us now, and he will take your calls. So lines are open, 416-870-0590. *590 and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Adam, thank you as always for joining us. We always appreciate your time.
No problem.
What's going on with the offseason? How's it been? How's the family? What's with the kids?
That's been nice, you know, just to see a bunch of people that I haven't seen in a while and relax and, you know, just be on vacation, really.
Have you gotten to watch a lot of baseball? Have you been interested in watching a lot of the baseball that's been going on?
I'm always interested. You know, there's priorities now, like Bubble Guppies and other television shows that are a little more, you know, there's a little argument or a fight if there's baseball on TV. So I haven't seen too much. I've definitely followed it, but I haven't really seen any of the games.
Well, it's really been spectacular, especially as far as the Kansas City Royals are concerned. And you got four of your former teammates going to the World Series with, well, three former teammates and an ex-coach, Jason Fraser, Eric Kratz, Scott Downs, and Don Wakamatsu, all going to the World Series with the Kansas City Royals. And I'm sure you'd much rather that it be you there or that they'd be going there as Blue Jays with you. But how does it make you feel to see those guys get to the Fall Classic?
I couldn't be happier for, you know, any of the guys that went. You know, Jason Fraser's had a long career, just finally got to play, you know, one-game playoff last year and then gets to go to the World Series this year. Scott Downs, same with him. Eric Kratz has had one of the, you know, strangest path to the big leagues, you know, hard for him to stay in the big league. So it's good for him to, I mean, very deserving of going to the World Series. And, you know, Don Wakamatsu didn't, you know, played for him 1 year, I think, maybe two. And, you know, just congratulations to him. One of the, you know, those great batting practice.
he definitely throws. And he calligraphs a beautiful batting order, a lineup card. That's for sure. Did you play with Kratz on the way up? Were your timelines the same that way? Because I know the Blue Jays drafted him and he left before coming back.
Well, him and Dustin McGowan might be the only two people that had spring training with the Phillies when they were remodeling the Bobby Maddox Center. So he's definitely been around longer, but my first year in rookie ball, he was kind of the he was on my team for a little bit, but he was one of those organizational guys that would play for four different teams every year.
Mm-hmm.
And quick story about him. I remember it was the All-Star break, and I was in the Indianapolis airport heading to Baltimore. I think it was 2008. And I heard over the loudspeaker, they said, would Eric Kratz and Dana Evelyn please come to the booth? You know, you got to get on the plane and go wherever the Indianapolis Indians were going. I was like, holy cow, Eric Kratz is here in the airport with me. And I ran into Brandon Moss, who was flying with the team. He played for the AAA Pirates, you know, the Indians. And I was like, Moss, where's Kratz? He's like, Kratz, we're in the big leagues. And this was the first time Eric went up. And I was one of the first people to find out because his name was on the loudspeaker, and they were looking for him for the flight to go wherever they were going.
That's fantastic. And thank you also for reminding us all of the existence of Dana Evelyn. I think we totally, totally.
Well, I wasn't shocked that the PA announcer was looking for Dana.
Yeah. With Adam Lind, it's the Blue Jay Day pregame show as we get you set for Game 5 of the Giants and the Cardinals. It'll be Adam Wainwright against Madison Bumgarner. Do you have a rooting interest in the National League, either one of those teams? I mean, I know you're a Midwest guy, so there's St. Louis, but is there any personal connections with anybody on either of these clubs?
Not really. I know I heard you say you'd love the I-70 series. I couldn't agree more with you. I think that would be great.
Yep, that would just like 85. It would be. I think it would be spectacular.
But I think, you know, it'll be hard for them to come back. But like I said, man, I probably won't be tuning in too much to to the baseball games.
No, I understand. The bubble guppies take precedence. There is no question about that. So let's look back a little bit at the season that you had and the season that, that the team had, because it really was, I mean, it seemed like when you went down and Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Laurie all went down at the same time, and missing the three of you for 6 weeks, the 4, 5, 6 hitters all together, that really, for me anyway, took everything out of this team. And they tried valiantly to make up for your absence, but there were just too many games where Juan Francisco was hitting fourth or fifth, and there wasn't enough offense when you guys were gone.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nose. You know, what are you going to do, really?
And it was different, though. I mean,
I wish I had more of an answer for you, but it happened. And, you know, one thing that's interesting about being on the DL is when they send you to Florida, I mean, there's a game the next day. The game continues to move on regardless of who's in the lineup and who's not. And you got to go out there and do the best that you can with the guys that you have. And, I mean, you can replace me probably, but you can't replace Brett's defense and you can't replace Eddie's bat. And, you know, it was just a tough time.
It really was a tough time without, you know, without the three of you together. The team treaded water for a while, but by the end of it, it was just, it wasn't going to happen. When you talk to Alex Anthopoulos about what happened in 2014, he has more than a few times said, we were expecting a lot better out of the bullpen. And guys like Sergio Santos and Steve Delabar, who didn't have great years, Brett Cecil didn't have a great first half, but really turned it on in the second half. It wasn't the bullpen that I expected to see, given, you know, all the greatness last year and the great arms that you had. But how much of that, I mean, it's tough when I see what Kansas City's doing with these three guys who had an ERA under .150 each in Herrera and Wade Davis and Greg Holland. You guys could have had that with Cecil and Delabar, McGowan and Santos and Jansen at the back of the bullpen. It just didn't work out.
Well, I think in the playoffs, especially, you haven't, you know, you get out of your division, you haven't seen those guys as much, and especially in the World Series. I mean, you might as well say a 1.5 ERA is a .75, just because you haven't seen these guys. And Kansas City is going to go to the World Series, and the Giants or Cardinals have never, you know, the Cardinals have seen their bullpen a little bit, but I mean, these guys have never seen them. I imagine they'll be even better in the World Series because the hitters haven't seen them. But to get back to our bullpen, you know, I don't know how bullpens are around the league, but it seems like Blue Jay bullpens are always real finicky. It's year on, year off, year on, year off. And you can never really expect the same production out of a bullpen that you had the year before. It's, you know, maybe it's over usage or, you know, guys have seen you for a year now, so there's no surprises. And it's you know, I always think that's weird about Blue Jay bullpens, is how one year they're so good and then the next year, you know, the production falls off a little bit. So next year I would be expecting an increase in production.
It is. I mean, I think that goes for bullpens generally around the league. Most non-closers are seem to be year on, year off, and it's tough to find good closers too. And speaking of which, it seems as though Casey Jansen is not going to be back with the team. The Blue Jays have never paid a reliever more than $4.5 million under Alex Anthopoulos, and Casey was making $4 million, and he's a free agent now. And Dustin McGowan has a $4 million option, so one wonders if that's going to be picked up. Of the guys in house, and I guess it's Cecil, Loop, Delabar, you know, with a chance of Aaron Sanchez, who I think everybody likes better to give a shot as a starter. Who would you like to see getting the chance to close out games, assuming nobody's brought in?
I think you got to go with Brett Cecil, and he's got devastating stuff. There was a few games in you know, beginning and middle of September when, you know, we were still in the high pressure situations. That, I mean, situation didn't faze him at all. He just went out there and hit his pitch and, you know, got out of the jams. You know, Aaron Loop's kind of the same way, but not as good as stuff. So I think you have to go with Brett Cecil.
What got me about Cecil is, I mean, having sat there up there in the booth with Alan Ashby for 6 years, trying to get in a catcher's head, and now Joe Siddle this year, the same thing. They talk about, well, you know, if a guy can't hit a pitch, go back to it. And you'll see pitchers double up on a bunch of pitches. But I think it was against Tampa Bay and Evan Longoria in September that Cecil tripled up, and he threw him three straight curveballs and got the exact same ugly swing every time. And that kind of showed me something about how good Brett's stuff must be if he's able to get a good hitter like that going fishing on the same pitch three times in a row.
Well, I know Navi loves off-speed pitches. I haven't watched him for a whole year now. He's not, you know, he likes to throw off-speed pitches. And when you have a curveball like Brett's, his is almost like 85 miles an hour. Might as well just throw it every pitch.
Well, with Adam Lind, it is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Before I get to a call, I guess I'll ask if you've heard anything, because decisions on options don't have to be made until a couple of days after the World Series, but the Blue Jays have a $7.5 million option on your services for next year. Have you gotten any indication from them as to, I mean, I'm assuming it's a no-brainer to pick it up, but have you gotten any indication yet?
No, I haven't had any dialogue with Alex. But I hope to be back. I look forward to the chance to, you know, extend our success, I guess, a little bit, and hopefully get into the playoffs next year.
Yeah, 9-win improvement over last year, and if you can do it again, then that's 93 wins, and that absolutely would get you into the postseason. All right, lots of people want to talk to you, so let's get to it. Why don't you? And again, I send this out to all the people as I always do. The earlier you call, the better chances you have to get on, because we always get a bunch late in the show that we can never get to. The numbers are 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Scott in Grimsby is listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Scott, say hello to Adam Lind.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Scott.
Just a couple quick questions. Adam, you're one of my favorite hitters to watch. I just love your swing. I wish you batted more against lefties. I know you struggled against lefties, but I just wonder what the conversation is between you and Gibby when there's a lefty on the mound for the other team. If it's kind of a foregone conclusion that you're going to be out, or if there's a daily conversation that you have, you know, where you say, okay, I'm going to be sitting this one.
Yeah, there's not really any conversation. It's more the situation of the game. If it's close, no one's on base in the sixth or seventh innings, and I still have the chance to do something off the closer in the ninth with the batting order, you know, swinging back around, I might stay in. But if there's people on base, with the lefty fishing, I was not going to hit.
Yeah. And so going forward next year, can we expect kind of more of the same thing, do you think?
Well, I got to be around next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would imagine so. But, you know, it was always hard to come out of the game in those crucial situations, because I felt like I wasn't as big a part of the team, because – there was no chance for the glory or to be the hero of that game. And, you know, it was hard to come out when the game was on the line, and that's when I want to be in there to be the hero for the team. But, you know, that's how it goes.
By the other, from the other side, how do you get ready to get into a game in those big situations, in a game that you don't start, when there's a lefty on the mound and you know that you're going to get called on in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning in a big spot against a right-handed pitcher? I mean, is it tough to get into that mindset? I'm sure you go to the back and take a bunch of hacks, but how do you do it?
I try to, I don't know if this is a good idea to tell people, but I try to take the pressure off of myself and say, look, man, I'm the pinch hitter. There's no pressure on me if I get a hit. It's just a bonus, and if not, then you're really not supposed to get a hit because you're pinch hitting. So I just try to take the pressure off myself and not get caught up in the situation, and just stick to my routine. And I, you know, go to the batting cage in the sixth inning, stay warmed up, and just go out there and try and have a quality at bat.
Well, it worked. You hit .357 as a pinch hitter this year. So with only one strikeout. So with whatever non-pressure you put on yourself, it definitely worked.
It's all mind games, right? That's all this game is. It's just a mind game.
It really seems to be. and I guess whatever works. I got a tweet from @CaptainBobs, and I fear that he's not going to like the answer to this question. He said, "Lind, please don't shave that majestic beast off your face." But there were rumors that you got rid of it right after the season ended.
Well, those Sun State rumors, I know you guys dig and try and find out. You know, Barry comes over the corner and wants to know all the info. And I'm in my personal life now, Mike. So we'll see what happens when I make a public appearance or come back up to Toronto. And you never know what might be on this face.
That is a sentence that I never thought I would hear. I guess I have to say, but we will anticipate greatly what's going on as far as Adam Lind facial
sure.
hair.
It'll bug you all winter.
And you know what? There are a lot of people that it will bother all winter. We got to step aside for a second. We'll have less of me and more of Adam Lind as we continue getting you set for game 5 of the National League Championship Series. It's the Blue Jay Day pregame show with Adam Lind on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Baseball Control in Toronto. Mike Wilner here with you. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show as we get you set for Game 5 of the National League Championship Series. The St. Louis Cardinals facing elimination and facing Madison Bumgarner, who has been the best starting pitcher so far in this postseason period, all the way across Major League Baseball. First pitch of that game flies in 36 minutes, and we will have it all for you, Dan Shulman. And Aaron Boone with the call. And by the way, 11 years ago today, Aaron Boone hit that walk-off home run for the New York Yankees to clinch a pennant against Tim Wakefield at Yankee Stadium. So I'm sure they'll be talking about that a little bit. And Adam Lind joins us, taking your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Second segment is, as always, a lot less me, a lot more of you, and phone lines are open. I understand we're having problems getting out across the network, unfortunately, because of the weather. Oh, but we are up right now. If you are elsewhere across our great country and you can hear us, just in case it goes dead again, you might as well get that call in now so you can talk to Adam Lind. Let's go. Well, actually, before we go back to a caller, I got I was looking up your numbers for the year, Adam, and there's one thing, there are a bunch of things that jump out, and I'll get to those later, but one thing that really stood out to me was that this year, the third time you faced the same pitcher in a game, you hit .400, and it's not like you weren't doing well before. .293 the first time you faced him with a 780 OPS, .282 the second time around with a 766 OPS. But the third time you face a starting pitcher in a game, you hit .400. Is that something noticeable to you, that the more often you see a guy, the better kind of track you have on what he's going to try to do?
I think that's without question, Mike.
But it doesn't. It's not so dramatic with most players.
Well, the more you see a pitcher, I think the advantage shifts to the hitter. You know, you're seeing all his pitches and you know what he's featuring that night. And I think this is how the evolution of baseball. The more you see a pitcher, the better the advantage is for the hitter. I think that's how it should be.
I agree with you. I just don't think it's been so dramatic. In your career, you're only hitting .292 third time you see a guy. So this year it was a little bit more dramatic.
I mean, I'd take .292.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. But that's not as. But the first time you see a guy, you're hitting .302 for your career.
It's just baseball, Mike. I don't know really what else to say.
That is why they call it baseball. I'm sure. Let's go to Ian in Orillia. Ian, say hello to Adam Lind.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I took my young sons to their first Blue Jays game, and it was a special one because it was your birthday. That was 3 years ago. You played the Yankees in Toronto, and from that day on, you became one of our favorite players. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah. We homeschool these little guys, and I just wanted to tell you that I actually gave them a creative writing assignment. Like, one of their dreams was to have you come to the door for a barbecue. So I gave them a couple of sentences that started, "The doorbell rang a few minutes before noon. I answered it. Adam Lind stood on the front porch. He was holding a bag of groceries. I've come for the barbecue." And I asked each boy to finish the story, and they turned out rather funny because I envisioned them having you over for a barbecue, giving you a hamburger. But in both cases, the boys thought you'd come to walk off with the barbecue. And the first guy had you offering $100 for the barbecue and him saying no. And then you took it anyway, and then you sent him the $100 and a signed Blue Jays shirt the next day. And the second guy had you trading the groceries for the barbecue, and there was all kinds of ruckus that happened. But at any rate, I just wanted to share with you that you brought us a lot of joy in watching you play, and to the point where we're even having fun bringing you into our homeschooling assignments.
Well, it must be some good barbecue. $100.
Yeah. They just the funny thing is they just interpreted it entirely different than me. They thought you'd come to wheel and deal. Anyway,
that's why it's creative. You can do whatever you want, right?
For sure. Yeah. Wish you all the best for 2015.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Ian. Appreciate that. Adam Lind, barbecue thief. That's very interesting that that these guys have.
No, I offered the guy $100.
But then you walked off with it anyway after he said no and you sent a check later. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you're an honorable man. It was great that you sent the money afterwards. Well done. Dave in Newmarket. Dave, say hello to Adam Lind.
Hey, Adam Lind, how's it going?
We're good. What's your barbecue story about Adam Lind?
Well, I was just thinking, you probably have sold more barbecues now than bases. No, I'm just kidding. My question for you was...
That's hurtful.
Sorry. The question was, the Blue Jays, are they a team on the rise or are they a team on the fall? Because if you look in the American League East, you know, Tampa Bay's blowing themselves up. They're probably going to have a different coach next year. You know, the Yankees are going to have the whole A-Rod drama coming back. You know, Baltimore kind of did everything they could to win this year and fell short. You know, the Blue Jays had a couple glimpses of hope last year where they looked really good. Do you think they're going to be on the rise this year, or do you think they're going to have the same results they had this year?
Well, we won 9 more games than we did last year, so we're on the rise. You usually don't get a new coach, you usually get a new manager. So who knows what they're going to do down in Tampa. Baltimore, you know, hey, man, they're the team to beat. They're the division champs. That's who everybody's going to be going after. And we all know what New York and Boston are capable of. So I think we're on the rise. I mean, look at, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez. Those two guys, you know, are just as good as anybody in the division. So I think we're definitely on the rise. More so than we were last year at the time. So definitely an exciting time to be part of this organization.
Do you think that anything needs to change drastically as far as the team is concerned? Or is it just a matter of guys staying healthy and guys having the years they should have would be the difference between, you know, in the 6 or 7 wins you need to be a playoff team?
Sounds like there's a washing machine behind you, Mike.
But, it does? Oh, we'll get Derek Brandeo on that.
You know, every team, when you look back at the end of the year, there's always 6 or 7 wins. There's probably 10 or 11 wins out there that you should have easily won, and I think that's what separates the playoff team from, you know, a team going home at the end of the season. But I don't think drastically things need to change, but we just need to play better as a whole. A lot of teams would say that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Let's go with Pearson Markham. Pierce, you're on with Adam Lynn.
Good evening, sirs. How are you?
We're good. Go ahead.
Adam, just wanted to say that we're a big fan of yours, and a personal friend of mine is actually a personal friend of yours, and he's told us a lot about your work ethic. We're big fans here. Me and the boys love watching our baseball. I have two quick questions for you. The first one was related to yourself and the other to the team. The first one was, this year when you had that injury, and sorry for not being specific, but in spite of time, I recall that there was a little bit of an issue in terms of how the reporting of the injury occurred and your feelings about that. And I was a little disappointed in the team myself, and I wanted to know your thoughts about that and how you feel about that now. And the second question was,
I think your phone.
I lost them.
Oh, what? No, we can't understand you, Pierce. But I guess so. About the first question there, Adam, with the broken foot and the early misdiagnosis, what was that like?
It was tough. It really was. You know, you believe the training staff. You think you don't leave any stone unturned, and I believed what the trainers were trying to do. I believe what the doctors said. If I could change anything, I know breaks don't show up right away, but I had a couple x-rays with the x-ray machine at the stadium. And I mean, it's probably not that good of an x-ray machine, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if I could do it again, I would definitely go to the hospital and get a real x-ray taken. I wouldn't just rely on the Dollar General store x-ray machine that we have, in the training room. It's too small of an x-ray machine. So, I would take a little more responsibility upon myself to make sure that, my body was at 100%.
I remember talking to you after you'd been back for a little while, and you just saying that it wasn't getting any better. You could play through it, but it wasn't getting any better. And it was maybe a couple, 3 days later that the alarm bell started to go off and you got the MRI.
Well, as loud as it sounds, I was playing first base in some of those games, and for some reason no one tried to bunt. I didn't have any ground balls really hit at me. It wasn't until the game in Oakland when there were like three flares right over my head that I just couldn't get to, and I think that was a sign that they raised the red flags and showed management that was like, look, something's wrong. We need to get an MRI, and that's what happened, and it showed that there was a crack in the bone, and the rest is history.
With Adam Lind here, time for a couple more phone calls. We're going down to Brazil. This is our first caller we've ever had from Brazil. Roberta, say hola to Adam Lynn.
Oh, hi, Adam.
I speak Portuguese. Hello.
I think that. Isn't that hello in Portuguese? How do you say hello in Portuguese, Roberta?
You say hi. No, you don't say hi. Hi, it's in English. Sorry. You say oi.
Oi. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I know Spanish,
but I'm calling from Canada. So I have a freaking boyfriend who is a huge fan from Blue Jays, and he always tried to teach me some rules, and I don't understand nothing about baseball, right? I only understand about soccer. And I was wondering, what do you do when the season's gone, and if you have any kind of hobbies or things like that?
Well, right now, it's really just social time, catch up with a bunch of friends that I haven't seen over the past 6-7 months. And just reestablish relationships, get to know each other again because it's been so long. So that's been nice. I've had a few, nice evenings down here in Florida with Jose Batista and some former teammates with Jesse Litz, Jesse Carlson, hanging out with their families. And really right now, the month of October, that's all it's about, is just recovering from the season, relaxing, and having a social life, having dinner. Going out with my wife, having a babysitter, and just enjoying myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Brazilian, we have the most amazing barbecue, so you are welcome to try our barbecue once.
Well, thank you. I'm I know Brazil is one of my favorite beers.
Perfect. So you got to combine it with a good Brazilian steakhouse, and you're good to go. We'll keep Adam for a couple more minutes, being very gracious with your time, and we appreciate it. A lot of people want to talk to you. Joseph is next in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go with Adam Lind, Joseph.
Thanks for doing this, Adam.
Yeah, no problem.
My question is, which of tonight's pitchers would you rather face, Wainwright or Baumgartner?
I think that goes without question.
Yeah. Have you faced either one of them?
I have faced Wainwright. I faced him maybe in, I couldn't tell, 2010 or 2011 interleague play in Toronto. I played a home run off of him.
You did. I'm looking it up now. You went 2-for-2 with a home run off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you'd rather face Adam Wainwright. All right. I like those good brief question and answers. Ross in Toronto. Ross, say hello to Adam Lind.
Hey, Adam, how you doing? I had a basic question about the science of hitting that I've always heard it referred to, but I didn't really know what it implies. When they say, you know, that you're sitting on a fastball or sitting on a curveball, obviously it means you're anticipating that pitch. But what does that really mean to your approach? Is it affecting your timing? Like, are you shifting your weight as if you're expecting a fastball or something that's going to take a little longer, like a breaking pitch? And does it affect your swing plane because you know you're thinking it's going to break? Or can you react to those things as you recognize the pitch?
All right.
Science of hitting. Here we go.
All right. There's a huge advantage to the hitter when you can look fastball and adjust to the curveball. The problem is with that, a lot of big league pitching, not pitching in AAA or AA or high school or Babe Ruth. Big league pitchers have curveballs that you can't identify with your eyesight. They're just too good. They're invisible. And that's when your question comes into it where you have to sit on pitches. And it's all about timing. Or when you start your swing. For a fastball, you start your swing, we'll say, when the pitcher's leg goes up. For a curveball, you'll start your swing when the pitcher's about to release the pitch because the pitch is only, let's say, 76 miles an hour. So it also helps you when the pitch is 76 miles an hour and you get ready late because you're sitting on an off-speed pitch, you can actually see it a lot better. So that's how you sit on pitches. You know, for a fastball, you start your swing earlier, and for an off-speed pitch, you start your swing later. The problem is when you face someone like Tanaka or Kuroda, when their fastball's 93 and their split's 91, that's when you run into problems because you can't sit on it. You just have to hope that they hang it.
And when they do, good things happen for you. When they don't, generally good things happen for them.
But that's hitting. You got to know when. I mean, most of the time you're gonna get out. That's just the way it is.
It's the truth of the matter. Never been a hitter in the history of the game who's gotten out less than half the time in his at-bats. We'll take two more quick calls. Mike in Newmarket. Say hi to Adam Lind.
Adam, how are you?
Good.
Good. Adam, first a comment and then a question. Comment, Gibby needs to get you hitting against left and right-handers. I think, I don't know why he's lost confidence in you, but in terms of hitting against righties or lefties, but anyways, that's my comment. My question, Adam, is two, 3 years ago, I was at the Blue Jays Charitable Foundation golf tournament, and I noticed that the Spanish-speaking players tended to keep to themselves away from the North American players. And I was just wondering, I noticed it at dinner, I was just wondering, is there any sort of division in the dressing room between the Spanish-speaking players and the North American-based players?
No, when we're a team, we're all in it together. Who matters, baseball speaks no language. So when we're in between those lines, it's time to go get it and win as many games as we can.
We'll do one more. We'll do one more. One more call because it's about your beard. So we'll go to Linda in Stony Creek. Linda, you're on with Adam Lind.
Hi, Adam. We love the Blue Jays and we love you. You are the best. Quick question. Is there an inspiration behind the beard?
Yeah, they're hits. I mean, that's all it is. Hits.
Really?
I started growing it last, 2013 July.
Yep.
I had a rough July, I think. I started growing it, and I had a great August and September. And I continued to grow through the last off season, and I had a good summer this year. So
you're keeping
I mean, I'm married with kids. I don't need to be all GQ out there, you know. So all that matters now is trying to do the best that I can for the Blue Jays. And
absolutely. So it's a permanent fixture then, Adam, right?
Maybe it'll be down to scale a little bit.
Okay.
Just as long as you let it go throughout the season, I guess. We're very interested to see what the face looks like when we see you again. Adam, thanks a lot. And again, really appreciate how gracious you are with your time and you know, your teammates before you have done it. And it's a great tradition that continues now. And of course, the part of the tradition is to tell you just how good you were during the season, some things that you might not know about your year. I've got a few that I want to drop on you. The biggest one I'll save for the end, but there's some really interesting things. You hit 452 in the eighth inning this year with an on base of 500. So, you know, late in games, big spots, right? Runners in scoring position, you hit 343 with a 995 OPS. Runners on base in general, 339. With a 980 OPS. But when you hit the ball out of the infield, now normally you're going to get more hits, especially a guy who's not going to get too many leg hits, no offense. But you're going to get more hits when you hit the ball out of the infield. But this year, whether it was on the ground or in the air, whatever, when you hit the ball out of the infield, you hit 606, 86 for 142 on balls that got out of the infield. So That one really jumps off the page for me.
Well, that's the secret, Mike. We got to get it to the outfield.
That's all you have to do, though. Get it to the outfield.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. I really enjoyed it, and even if I'm not back next year, hopefully you'll be graceful enough to let me come back anyways.
Anytime you want. The floor is absolutely yours. I find it very hard to imagine that you won't be back next year. I was talking to the GM in September, and he used the word elite three times in a row talking about you as a hitter. So I kind of feel like that option's going to get picked up.
If it doesn't, give me that guy's name, and I'll be sure he'll be the first person I call.
It's a deal. No problem. Thanks so much.
All right.
Enjoy your winter. Enjoy the kids. And hopefully we'll see you in Dunedin in the spring.
You going to be on Christmas Eve this year?
I don't know. They haven't told me yet. I wasn't last year, but if I am, you're coming in.
All right. Sounds good.